Well, welcome, Christian Women Warriors. Woo! I love the smell of that title and the aroma that it gives off. It's kind of like I'm cutting into like a medium rare ribeye steak. Delish, right? But seriously, women, get used to that title, Christian Women Warriors. Because you better believe that our ginormous, magnificent guardian and savior of our souls, the captain and king of our lives, King Jesus, this is King Jesus' heart's desire for his bride, for his queens, right? As that we become the victorious, overcoming, strong, bold, and courageous Christian women warriors of the faith for our time and in our generation. So much so, to prove my point, lights, camera, action, reporting live from Austin, Texas, baby, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the heavens above is shouting down to these his chosen vessels in this room, in this conference, his beloved daughters. I think I can smell victory already, right? Well, welcome, women. As you know, our topic of this conference is how to suffer for the glory of Christ. Now, I think I heard some of y'all's heart like stop a beat. Because you're like, suffering? Yeah. Some of y'all are like the queens at like dodging confrontation and difficulties. Or what if when Jesus is like trying to pull things out of your heart and you're like, no, Jesus, please. And he's like, no, this is coming out, honey, right? Because no plan of Papa Daddy's can ever be thwarted. Well, I think as I ponder why we struggle so much with difficulties or the suffering, it's because we're Americans, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with America. God, I love this nation. Like, I pray for mercy upon this land. As we see the depravity and the darkness around us, you just see a bunch of sad people that need Jesus, right? But part of being Americans is we're a bunch of pampered little boogers, right? We're spoiled. Let's just be blunt. And I mean, let's see. We got Starbucks off the yin yang. I mean, it's everywhere. Okay, I look at America as like this big old buffet. Do I want Mickey D's or steak and shrimp, right? Steak and shrimp. We've got our goose down comforters and our pillows that have like feathers in it and everything, right? Living this life of ease. When the problem is God has not always called us to live a life of pleasure and ease, right? You know what? Let me be blunt. God has not called us to be a bunch of cowards and shrink away from the difficulties, the challenges he places before us for our growth. I mean, seriously, you know what? We need to take our easy pants off and put on our big underwear, our big pants on, right? And woman it up. I'll tell you what, if men can say, be the man, why can't women say, be the woman? You know? What I like to tell my women is put your go-go boots on, put the armor of God on, and the shield of faith high in the air, and go in there and run the race that's set before you. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, of our faith. So some of y'all are like, woo, I like it. I'm pumped, right? How do I do it? Oh my gosh. It's like I can hear a symphony in my ear because the Christian walk is summed up in one word. Because the Christian walk is simple. Paul said is the pure simplicity devotion to Christ, right? Stick to the text. That's all you got to do. What's the word of God to say? Live it, right? This is how to live life for dummies, aka the Bible. Okay. If the word of God says, yo, quit tripping, take a chill pill. No, it didn't say take a Vicodin. But it says, quit worrying and trust in me, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And then what? Well, let's see. When you stop worrying for those people in your lives and you give them over to the Lord, right? Or you quit worrying about your financial test or your health afflictions or whatever you're going through, and you look to the Lord and keep your eyes on Him, cha-ching! That's when you begin to see the power of God unveil in your life in powerful, mighty ways. I mean, that's when you begin to experience the blessings of Almighty God in your life. So much so that as you're seeing Him blessed, those blessings begin to outpour out of you into the lives of others. I mean, isn't that awesome? I need some water. So before we open in prayer, or after we open in prayer, we'll go into deeper truths like that. But before we do open in prayer, oh my gosh, like, I just want to, like, spotlight God. Like, He is so sickly adorable. Like, I call Him the goober of all. He's probably calling me the goober. But God is just so fascinating. He is just so intriguing. And you can never outsmart God, you know? I remember when I was a little rugrat, little kid. I guess I still am a shrimp cocktail. But I remember my grandmother came to this church before she went to be with the Lord. And Sharon was my Sunday school teacher. And she was teaching about the essence of God and how God knew everything. And I was like, really? Does He? You know? I think I was in the bathroom, like, washing my hands. And I didn't even finish with the soap. And I turned it off real quick. I'm like, did you know? Duh. Okay. I mean, goofy little kid. But, you know, sometimes as adults, we don't give God enough credit of just how deep and vast He truly is. I mean, God understands us to the umpteenth degree, and He wants to be so involved in every area of our life. And so, man, there's no one like God. He is just so unique. And one of a kind. I mean, and you know what's cool is us, part of us being His creation is that we're made in His image. And which means that there's no one exactly like you. There never will be and there never has been. Like, we're all unique and special and different. And so to me, it's like, well, why would we ever be against each other, right? I mean, so what if Sally doesn't chew her food like you, you know? Timmy, I don't like how you cut that tomato, buddy, right? Or if a Bible teacher is sitting here like this and talking to you about the Word of God, or kind of like this, like me, right? I'm a little wiggler. I mean, so what, right? Okay, I have to confess. Sometimes I sit back and I watch the royal family of God, and I look at your particularities and your mannerisms and why you do things the way you do or why you don't. And by the time I'm looking at y'all, I'm like, y'all are so sickly cute, I could puke. Like, you need to be in my pocket. I mean, seriously. It is such a liberty when you stop looking at each other's weaknesses and judge them for it. Because, first of all, is there anyone without sin? Okay, didn't think so. We're a bunch of mess ups, right? We got to stop looking at each other's faults and weaknesses and start looking at each other as the finished work of art, right? The finished work of art that God will complete in the day of Christ Jesus. Well, good thing we're not a huggy church. I would not make y'all hug. You know, you're like, I love you, whatever. But I hope genuinely from the heart we do love each other and see how sickly cute each other is. I should move on from this. back to God. So God, think about how God treats you on a daily basis. He's merciful. He's patient. He's kind, slow to anger, and quick to abound in loving kindness. I mean, we could sit here right now for all eternity singing about His forgiveness. Amen? I mean, he forgives us even if we think, well, that's a little sin, or whoa, that was ridiculous, right? It's all sin to God. And you know what? He is so cool. He is waiting there. The moment he is waiting for us to repent, and he wants to help pick us up, kiss our little boo-boos, and say, keep on rocking, girl, because I love you, right? I mean, God loves us with such an intense, radical love that he will even put us through the difficulties, that he will even put us through the sorrows and the tears and the pain, because he knows the outcome. He knows the Christ-like mental attitude it will develop in us. He understands the greater compassion that it will give to us for humanity. What does 1 Corinthians 13 say, right? It's all about love, baby, right? If you have love, we got it all, right? You got the party going on when you love each other. If we don't have love, well, let's see. Let's just consider ourselves dead. Bunch of walking dead people. See, that's why they did that TV show, Walking Dead, right? If you like that show, that's fine. You know, walking zombies, I'm good, okay? No, it's just not me. It's just like school. Let's see. I didn't like science, math, history. I didn't like it, any of it. I liked recess and field trips. That's why Jesus gave me my name, Fallon. Because I'd come home with my report card. I'm like, Mom, F for Fallon, right? And then A afterwards for A for effort. I was the only one laughing and grounded. Well, ladies, I pray so much that this time is encouraging, that you walk away refreshed and renewed in your spirit. Because sometimes when I teach women on Tuesday nights, one time I said this saying, and I didn't mean it literally, and no one took it literally, so don't take it literally now. But I said, you may want to unbutton your pants, because we're in for a hot fudge Sunday scoop of Jesus evening, right? Because these times are so special. I mean, think how romantic this is as we are in the presence of our Almighty God. I mean, these should be like little sneak previews into what it's going to be like when we're in heaven, learning from Jesus and being at awe over his majesty and kingdom. I mean, I hope this blows away any movie you watch, okay? Or any entertainment that you enjoy, because this is time with sweet Jesus. And oh my gosh, I don't know about y'all, but can you imagine being face to face with God? Like, I tell God all the time, I'm like, yo man, I think I'm gonna have to have some sunshades, because like, really? How am I going to stand and look at someone who loves me so much? Someone who went to the cross for me. You know, this God of ours that sees us through the good, the bad, the ugly. This God that the moment we got saved, he took our hands and he's still holding our hands and carrying us along the journey until we see him. Can you imagine seeing someone who loves you for the core of who you are? It's like I can't imagine. It's like that Mercy Me commercial or the song. I can only imagine, right? Women, we are the most richest women on earth. We have a loving God who loves us so much. We are so blessed. And so, as I like to say, as I like to enter the courts, I like to enter the courts with thanksgiving. I like to give honor to where honor is due. If we had balloons, we'd throw it in the air for our Lord. We'd high-five him, give him all the stars, whatever. So let us go to our King with a heart of gratitude and appreciation. Let us pray. Almighty God, you rock, Lord. And we want you to rock our world. You're an amazing Father. You're a dependable Lord. You're a faithful King. We are honored to be your children, Lord. It is an honor just to be a name written in heaven. Who are we compared to such an awesome, loyal, royal Father as you? We are pleased to be your daughters. Please speak to us. Sweep us off our feet. Help us to fall more madly in love with you. In your Son's marvelous, glorious name, amen. Okay, let's get the party going. Please join me in the famous Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I may need someone to give me warm water. Really? So we know these verses, right? We quote them. We have t-shirts of these verses and everything. But are we living these verses, right? Because that's where the fun and the power truly is. Now, what I really want to focus on is verse 4 and show you by way of a unique experience how I have experienced that verse where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. But before we go into that, I thought we'd give it justice and go back to verse 1. We got to. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Actually, in better translations in the Hebrews, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I love that. And in the third book of Fallon, I've revised this to say, the Lord is my man, honey. I lack nothing. Holla. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You know, so many times we quote a Bible verse, trust in the Lord, with all your heart, or there's no fear in love. Perfect love, cast out fear. Heck, we come alongside sisters. Honey, this is the verse you need for your life, right? But seriously, on a day-by-day basis, are we experiencing these verses in our life? Are we standing firm on these promises and allowing them to bless us in our daily life? We need to be, right? Now, before I explain verse 4 and how I experienced that verse in a unique way, I wanted to say for the record real quick. You see, we all have different paths, right? Different journeys, different callings. And I just want to say for you mothers out there, no, I'm joking. I'm just kidding. Actually, my hat's out for you mothers. I don't know how y'all do it, to be completely honest. Like, I signed up for nursery, and, like, I'm holding a baby, and it's, like, the most awkwardest thing. I know to support the head, you know. Oh, my gosh. I was watching this little toddler in the nursery, and it was, like, a three-year-old, and I was like, come here, boy. I was like, oh, my gosh, it's not an animal. I was so happy it was just me, Jesus, and the angels at that moment. I'm used to cats, okay? I have two strong believing cats that are praying for y'all right now. So I think some of y'all are like, she needs to be off of nursery duty. I promise I'm getting better, okay? But so we all have different callings, right? And great honesty, I do believe that I've always believed that one day I would be persecuted. Praise God for him to prepare me, right? Can I stand before you right now and say I'm ready? Oh, I don't think the timing, the hour has yet come. I think I have great more maturity to do. But, you know, and it's no coincidence. My second foreign mission trip was in Pakistan, where persecution is just all over, as you all know. And I have to give God some credit, though. I mean, I didn't think I could go to a dangerous place until I could drink coffee straight up black. Honey, I still can't do that. I mean, I like my coffee sweet, sweet and tender like I like my man Jesus, right? So pray for me. Well, it was fascinating. One morning when Carrie actually had emailed me and Pastor Bob about going to Pakistan, and I only went alone with Carrie and then traveled back by myself, which was an interesting experience. Before I even checked your email, that morning, I had these three dreams. And I just want to say real fast for the record, if you don't think that God can speak to you through dreams, then you need to re-examine just how ginormous God truly is. Now, I'm not saying he always speaks through you dreams. I mean, we have some stupid dreams, right? Like, what the heck? But if God is trying to speak to you and drive a point home, he'll use anything. And I tell you what, God is constantly even knocking at our hearts. And if you find yourself throughout the day, you're anxious, you're annoyed, you're fidgety, you're just uneasy in your soul, it's because you're being distracted and you're not being still before Almighty God. You need to be. So this one morning, early, Riley went to work. It was about 12 p.m. No, I'm joking. It's like in the 7 o'clock or something. He went off to work. Yeah, I'm all sleeping. Late night? No, but I was just sucked into this dream. And all of a sudden, I wake up, and I'm in the Middle Eastern culture. Probably like Pakistan or Iraq or something, or Afghanistan. Which would be so cool to do mission work there. And y'all are like, not really. There is something, as Carrie can vouch, is just so special about the Middle Eastern culture. So I'm walking around, and all of a sudden, I am face-to-face with ISIS, with these Muslims. And I know that they're going to kill me because I'm a Christian. And oh my gosh, I wake myself up out of the dream. I am fearful. My heart is just pounding. And you know what that means? I failed miserably that test, right? I got F for Fallon in God's handbook that morning. I got slipped a Mickey by the enemy. I mean, whoa. But you know what? Do you know that, have you noticed when you fail a test, they seem to reoccur, don't they? Right? Because God's like, oh, it's okay, sweetie. I know you failed that, but guess what? It's coming back. Love you much. God the Father. Because he wants us to pass these tests. Sometimes he's gracious. It's a year later or 2 years. Or for me, it's immediate. So after my heart calmed down, I fell back to sleep. And I was in the same situation. But this time I had victory. As I was standing before these persecutors, I quoted a verse, claimed it, owned it, believed it, and then sang Jesus Loves Me. And I had an amazing peace that just flooded into my heart, and I could smell victory. And so I woke back up again, and it was almost like I was dunked under the water. And I came back grasping for air, and then a third time I went back to sleep, the same thing, quoted a Bible verse, sang Jesus Loves Me, and I had total peace. And you know, what is so fascinating about that song, Jesus Loves Me, I've been pondering, is when I was a kid, like, I got Bible doctrine not imputed in my soul like when I was 16. Praise God for my mother, who's in the house. She's like, oh my gosh. But I got my fire insurance a long time ago, you know, like early. I knew I was going to heaven, but I partied like it was 1999. It was 1999. I thought about that. I started at 12. Because I was on the search for love, and I didn't find my true love till I was 20. Jesus. And so, what's my point? No. When I was a kid and I would get scared, I would sing Jesus Loves Me, and it would just always calm my heart. And I thought it was so fascinating that I was quoting that verse or that hymn, and I thought, oh my gosh, is that how I'm going to go out while I'm executed or whatever he takes me, singing Jesus Loves Me? Like, whoa. Stay tuned. I'll let y'all know in heaven. A little bit of water break. So I woke up at the third time after I woke up from my dream. I knew God was speaking to me. And I don't mean like in a booming voice, Fallon, I'm your father. I could have done that a little deeper, a little Darth Vader. I'm kidding, but it wasn't like that. I knew he was ministering to my heart because he was showing me, you see, in the human mind, when you see a situation like that, your mind starts going, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be buried alive? Am I going to die a torturous death, right? And then all of a sudden you are gripped with fear and you become paralyzed because of it. And then guess what? The enemy's like, woo, yeah, rejoicing. And who's our enemy? Well, yeah, we know in Ephesians that our struggle's not against flesh and blood. We are waging war with the dark forces of this evil, of the cosmos, of the fallen angels and the demons and Satan himself. And so they're sitting here, woo, having a heyday, right? You're on CNN headlines, Satan news. Christian got whooped, you know? Because guess what? Now you're standing before these Muslims who you're supposed to be testifying of Jesus Christ. And now they're seeing, oh, you're afraid. Oh, where's your God? Oh, I guess your God's not the real God. Oh, and that Bible you read? Pointless. And you failed, and you failed your whole point of being a testimony to these people that need Christ. Now, we don't have to be so extreme here. Let's think about America and issues we have. Let's say you're dealing with marital issues or financial testings or rebellious teenagers, and you go to work, and your coworkers seeing you're stressed out, you're worrying, you're anxious, you're negative, you're just a downer. And they're thinking, well, aren't you a Christian, right? I thought you read the Bible every day and go to church. Man, I don't want that God of yours. I'm going to the bar. You better go too. I mean, really? Seriously? That's exactly the message that we're delivering to people, is that, you know, that God, our God's not all that in a bag of chips when he is. And seriously, women, we have to stop being defeated. We have to stop allowing Satan to rob us from the joy that belongs to us in Christ Jesus, from robbing us from the peace and the contentment and the abundant life that God has called for us to have. We are Christian warriors, women. We have the faith, and what is faith? Faith is the victory that's overcome the world. We were made to be strong and courageous for Christ. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2. You know, it's so easy for us to forget why we're here, why we're in Austin, Texas, or wherever y'all are representing, okay? Why we do what we do. We forget because we forget our identity. You know, the whole reason we're here breathing right now is so that we can be a witness, that we can testify to this lost and dying world. Our God's not dead. Our God's epic. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and you need him, honey. You see, when we look in a mirror, we shouldn't be just seeing, you know, Shonika, or whatever your name is, okay? Moto Treehouse, okay? We should be seeing not just ourselves, but we should be seeing Christ, right? Because that is our identity. Look with me in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's a little warm. Are y'all warmed up? Oh. Oh, I can't fan myself without it making stuff noise, statically noise. Okay. Look with me in Galatians chapter 2. Are y'all with me? Where are y'all at? Where am I at? Verse 20 says, and you can plug in your name. I, or Shanika, have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Do you realize you no longer belong to yourself? Like, we belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to us. I mean, this needs to become a sinking reality in our life. And when it becomes a reality, cha-ching, what's the word of God say? And if you know the word, if you know the truth sets you free. Freedom, right? You become, when this reality comes, when this becomes a reality, then in your freedom, you have the liberty to not take other people's sins and faults personal, right? When people are attacking you, because you understand, wait a minute, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the dark forces, and the enemy is trying to use this weak sister or this unbeliever to attack me, gossip me, slander at me, so that I go, rah, right back. When God's like, no, forgive them, you know? Have mercy upon them. They don't know what they do, right? I mean, when people slander me or, you know, I can feel the negativity, you know, bless their heart. I mean, I'm not, you know, I pray for them because I got a party going on with Jesus. Like, I mean, it's good. And I pray that they come to see what I see. They come to be set free because that's what matters. It's the freedom. We want everyone to come to know our sweet Savior. So I tell you what. I don't think to the nth degree we fully understand the power that is dwelling within us. I don't think we do. Do you realize that we have the hero of humanity living inside of us? The celebrity of humanity, or of the universe? I mean, the God who conquered death? That is so huge. That's living. This power is living inside of us. Now join me in John chapter 14. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And not just him, but us, right? We're his followers. If we come to church, you're positive towards truth, then we're his seekers, right? Look what he says in verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Greater works than these he will do? Like, didn't he already do so many miraculous things? Cast out demons, healed the blind, and all of that? Although, I mean, he kind of had to, right, to prove that he was the living God, because no one could do that unless it was God himself. But then he went to the ultimate and laid his life down as a sacrifice so that those who believe can be saved. But greater works than these he wants to do through us? I mean, women, we should be seeing miraculous, powerful things that God is doing in and through our lives into the lives of others. I mean, we should be seeing, as he says in the Gospels, mountains being picked up, cast into the sea by faith as we pray for those people in our lives. You know, I'm a deep woman. I've always been deep. Even as a kid, I used to, like 12, 13, 14, I would hang out with 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds. I just... because I didn't like my time and generation. They just saw surface stuff. Like, how's the weather? I don't know. It's sunny. You know? Like, who are you? You know? I want to know you. Tell me about your life. And let's go deep and problems. And that just was me. And so it was the most refreshing thing that when I turned 20, after my third time in jail, looking ridiculous. I think I need you, Jesus. When I came to Jesus at 20, It was the most refreshing thing, because when you think about it, you can't get deeper than when you teach a Bible class or when you come alongside and encourage a sister or when you give the gospel. I mean, think of how refreshing this is. This is reality. This is our future, what we have to anticipate, right? And I love it. Paul says, I do not write to you in pen and ink, but I write to you as tablets of human hearts. Think about it. When we talk about Christ to someone, God is building through us and we are writing into the hearts of those people. I mean, think about the dispensation we're in, the age of the dispensation of the church. Church is not a building, right? It's the people. It's the body. And so when you surrender your life to the Lord and you allow him to use you, then he is investing through you into the hearts of these people. It's poetic, isn't it? If I had popcorn, I'd throw it at Jesus going, oh, that's so sickly cute and genius and deep, you know? Y'all ever think about throwing popcorn? Probably not. I'm a little creative. Well, I want to go very deep with you right now. Very personal. It may hurt. But it has to come out. There are strongholds in our life that keep us from growing to our full potential. That keep us from, as it says in verse 12, greater things than these I want to do from you. And so they have to be removed. Remember when I said, when you look in the mirror, we're supposed to not see just Shanika, but you're supposed to see, you know, Christ. But, well, when you do look in the mirror, do you love yourself? Do you love what you see? And I'm not talking outwardly like, woo, my hair looks great, or, oh my God, bless America, right? I mean, when I wake up, my hair's like cave woman. Eye boogers, everything. Hollywood, how ridiculous. You wake up, makeup's perfect, no bad breath, my butt. Sorry, I'm a little blunt. But, I mean, come on. And I don't know about you women. I never ask my husband, do I look fat? Does this look good? I don't go there with him. I already know. You know, I have my own standard, and I never live up to it. On a serious note, though, when you do look in the mirror, do you love you for who you are? Do you feel special in the eyes of your maker? Do you know how unique and one of a kind that you truly are? And if you don't, then you need to get on your knees and you need to pray. You need to say, God, search my heart. Know me. Why am I my worst enemy? Why am I listening to these lies to think that I'm not good enough or I value nothing? Because it could be something from your childhood where, you know, you were made fun of or you were raped or you had an abusive husband that just pretty much said you were pathetic. He was verbally abusive. These are strongholds that you have to allow God to remove. Because if you don't, you think it's not affecting you. It affects everything. It affects your personal relationships. It affects your personal life. It affects everything. Join me in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul was praying to the, it's his spiritual prayer in verse 14, on behalf of the saints. And these are prayers that we should obtain to and pray for one another. And verse 14 says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. When we have strongholds of insecurities, or we're low self-esteem, or we have inner hurts that we're not trusting God to deal with, it is robbing us from growing to our full potential and being filled up to the fullness of God, of understanding God in deeper degrees. Now, I know that there are some people in this room that are hurting. right? Part of being a sinner is that we're broken people, right? There's no picture perfect family. But some of y'all have your hurts or maybe shoved down, you know, out of sight, out of mind, right? But you get those birth pains, you know it's there, right? And some of y'all's pain is on your sleeve. I'm just going to encourage you, go to your Heavenly Father, pray to Him, give all of your hurts. Lord, I've been a victim over this. Or God, you know, I'm struggling with this. Just pour it out to your Father. I mean, there are days where I go to God and I'm like, Father, I'm a mess. I am a hurting mess. I need you to heal me. I can't lick my own wounds. Take care of me, God. I am yours to deal with, to heal. Even if it takes you 2 days, do it. And then do yourself a favor. Trust. Trust the great healer. Trust the great physician. Trust your Father to take care of you. Look with me in Hebrews 11. You know, one of the biggest problems that Christians struggle with, men and women, is faith. Or shall I say lack of faith, right? And that's an issue, honey, needs to be gone. We need to become 100% solid clear that we can trust our man, Jesus, you know? Now, there's some areas, okay, yeah, we know that we can trust God. Like maybe like earthly stuff. Father, I need a car, hook it up, you know? Or in Radley and I's case, we need a bumper. If you see outside a Honda Civic with no bumper, we're pimping it for Jesus. We don't care. We're not praying for a bumper. We don't care. It's paid off. What does it matter? We'll ride it till glory or something. But, you know, or we pray for wisdom. Father, I need comfort, you know, or Lord, I need, you know, strength to go on, right? But when it comes to the inner heart, right, this delicacy, our intimate life, or deals with sex or anything, when it comes to who us are and our inner hurts, we struggle with trusting Jesus in that, right? Why is that, you think? I think, you know, because we have relationships with each other, and what happens, you get hurt, so you build walls against other people, right? And you kind of, you're not so close to them. But do you realize our heart, we shouldn't have a wall up against God. We should be completely bare naked before the Lord. Ladies, how good is God? How much has He proved He loves you? I mean, did He not show that on the cross? Think about daily how He treats us. I mean, Father, I need wisdom. God, I need comfort. Without fail, has He not provided for us? Does He not prove His faithfulness to us on a daily basis? What hurt or what inner desire, what can God not do? What is too big for God? If He says, I am the God of all flesh, nothing is too difficult for me. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, or 11, verse 6. It says, and without faith, trust in God, it is impossible to please Him. It's an insult, right? The God who spoke and all this came into existence, who parted the Red Sea, you know, who was resurrected. For he who comes to God must believe that He's the shizzle, that He is, must believe that He is. Oh, and look at this juicy nugget. He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Like, He is such a good God. I mean, He wants to bless and reward His children. I mean, ladies, we got to come to know how good we have it. It's good in the neighborhood, honey. We have such a wonderful, dependable, loyal God. And We need to understand that. We need to start realizing that, how much we are blessed. Now, okay, I just think it's completely brilliant. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, or his ministry prior to the cross, he didn't even have his own place to lay his own head. Brilliant, right? To show you, he wasn't worried about his clothing, where he'd sleep. His Father's got his back, right? Same here. That's the same faith we need to have. My Father's got my back, you know? I love that Bible verse. If the Lord is for me, who could be against me? To me, I revise that as, or not revise that, but to me, I think, the Lord's my bodyguard. What's up? So we need to know how much we can trust God. Lastly, in dealing with this little segue or paragraph, whatever it is, as women, sometimes we struggle, insecurity, right? I don't know why it is with women we get that insecurity, and like men just have their own struggles. But sometimes you could be insecure because you have inner hurts. And that was me, more me. And then some people, people pleaser, or you compare yourself to people, or you think, oh, she's so pretty, or oh my gosh, I can never be her. Why would you want to be her? Why don't you want to be your Juicylicious racking it up for self, yourself, or for Jesus self? Oh my gosh, that sounds terrible. Rika Rar. Okay. But really, like, why would you want to be that person but be your beautiful self in Christ? You know? And then sometimes we can struggle with insecurities if our husbands aren't the strong leaders, you know? Definitely. But I'm enough to tell you, you have to overcome that too, because, and it's tough, but it's possible. And you know, if you find yourself insecure, then you just need to get on your knees and you need to pray, Jesus, remove this stronghold. Help me to not be a people pleaser, but a God pleaser. Help me to not care about anything but serving you. And if you're insecure, your insecurity or being secure is not going to come from your hubby or from your kids. It's going to come from your man, capital M-A-N, Jesus, you know? And so, I tell you, it's just such a liberty when you stop caring about what people think. Like, I don't care what y'all think. And I don't mean that negative. Like, I don't care for y'all. But, I mean, as in, like, I'm not worried because I know that God the Father will place on y'all's heart what he wants y'all to see in me, you know? And I could bleed my heart out so bad. I want every woman in this room to become confident, secure in Christ, women of the faith. I mean, think about Jesus when he was with the Pharisees and the Sadducees that killed him. We're like, first of all, where did he get this education? And second of all, who is this man? He speaks with such authority. Duh. We're dealing with like the God in the flesh, of course. And now guess what? We are now his representations, right? We need to be out there in a good way, like flaunting the Lord. We need to be out there modeling Christ to these people, not shrinking away and caring like, oh, what if they think I'm a Jesus freak? Really? Well, what if Sally's going to hell? Do you care, or you care about your reputation? I mean, we got it backwards. We can't allow the world to affect us or make us, you know, not stand for the truth. I have this little saying I like to say that some of my girls have heard it. But, okay, let me give you an example how we should be confident. Let's say you have a group of friends and they go around and everyone's like, well, what do you do for a living? And they're like, well, I'm a model. Well, I'm an accounting. Well, I'm a doctor. Sally, what do you do for a living? Well, I stay at home, read the Bible with my kids. No. You get in there and you go, yeah, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I raise my kids in the admonition of the Lord. I'm a disciple for the Most High God. By the way, do you know him? Right? Now, what I'm about to say is I hope that's on my tombstone. Women, you wear Jesus and you wear him good. Work it, girl. I mean, seriously, we need to be working it for the Lord. Now, I know that Nan is going to come in here and give you guys. Yeah. Y'all don't eat food. I know Nan is going to come in here and just give y'all so many grenades and ammunitions through the Word of God on how to suffer for the glory of Christ. But I wanted to deal with you personally as individuals, because if your personal life is not victorious, if your daily life is not victorious, then how are you going to be victorious in the battle when the storms hit, right? We're not. We're going to shrink away instead of be the bold, courageous Christian women warriors God has called us to be. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I know it's been a little long, but I have like 10 minutes left. Joshua is after Deuteronomy, just to let y'all know. Well, just to give you guys a little summary of what's going on. Moses just went to be in paradise. He just died. And we know Moses was a mighty man of faith, right? He was used in great, powerful ways. And basically, God's coming to Joshua and saying, man up. You know what I mean? Because he is, because he wants Joshua to take his chosen people, the Jews, to the promised land. And so he speaks to him in verse 7. And we know that even if God's speaking to Joshua or he's speaking to the Jews, we always can make personal applications in the Bible for ourselves. So let's make personal application in verse 7 for us as we see him talking to Joshua, whatever his name is, Treehouse. Okay, only women, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Actually, we have more than the book of Moses, right? We have the whole 66 canon of scripture. So we need to be careful that we are in the word and we are doing that. And that also, as it says, we're not turning to the right or to the left, right? Don't turn to worldly philosophies or self-help books or horoscopes, right? That's turning to the left or the right. Another way is turning to the left or the right is becoming consumed with your problems, worrying, stressed out, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. Why? Why shouldn't we? Look, if we don't, we keep it simple. We stick to the text and the Word of God. It says, if we do that, then we may have success wherever we go. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's like, you know, I'm going about my day with Jesus, and I'm like, oh my gosh, VIP, you know, and because when you roll with God, he blesses you. He prospers you because we have found favor in the eyes of Almighty God. It's awesome. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Okay, man shall not live by bread alone. Every day we should be in the word, renewing our mind, right? So that we are not conformed to this world, but we're being transformed. And we shall, as it says, meditate on it day and night, so that we may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, in Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks, so he is. Do you realize, like, we determine our outcome of situations? Like, we choose how we'll, you know, what am I saying? We'll choose, you know, let me just give an example. I don't even know what I'm saying. Let's give an example of what I'm trying to say. How about that? Cheers. Let's say you're driving. La, 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 right? And all of a sudden you get a flat tire. You can respond two ways. One, you could go, great, this is just what I needed, right? As the world revolved around you, first of all. Okay? Or you could say, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this test. I know that your hand is in it. You're going to take care of me. Obviously, you didn't want me to be at this place right away anyways. Maybe I get to give the gospel to the person that has the flat, you know, helps me with the tire. Thank you, Lord. Right? You know, what did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians? In everything, everything give thanks. It was awesome. Last year, I did a study on being thankful right before Thanksgiving. It was so sickly cute, I did puke. But I came to the conclusion that if you thank God for everything, you have no room to complain about anything, right? I mean, you stub your toe, hallelujah, amen, right? You get something on your new shirt, hallelujah, amen. Or is that stain remover? Amen, I'm rejoicing. But seriously, genuinely, if you thank God for everything, you'll have no complaints. And we need to adapt such a attitude as Christ had, where, you know, or in the apostles, where we thank God for no matter what we go through. Like the apostles. And if you look in Acts 16, we don't have to turn there. But in Acts 16, Paul and Silas were beaten, right? And thrown into prison. And you don't read in the Bible, they were in the prison jail going, "Woo, that's a cut. Look at that boo-boo." You know? They weren't even caring about the outward. They were just rejoicing, singing hymns, considering it an honor to suffer with Christ. We need to develop that mindset in our hour of testing. What did Jesus say? The hour has come that I may glorify you. How much more in our mind should we, when the hour of suffering go, Father, thank you that you've considered me worthy to suffer in such a great degree. May I glorify you, Lord. May you be pleased in me, and may I reach those around me. Lastly, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. I have to tell you, Timothy is special in my heart. And I'll tell you why. I used to be a missionary for Child Evangelism Fellowship for 6 years. And I'd go into public schools and lead kids to Christ and make disciples. And then I became a trainer to do that with adults, which was fun. I'd pull out my Nerf guns and stuff. Well, my partner in crime, Aaron, used to call me Paulette. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, but like Paulette. I mean, I don't know why. But it was kind of interesting because after that, I reconnected with my best friend in the whole world, who I'm still praying for. And after I saw her, I just said, you know, I'm praying for my Timothette. I want a Timothette, right? Paul and Timothy, Paulette, Timothette. And if you're a parent, I always say your kids, boy or girl, are your Timothys and Timothettes, right? I don't have a kid, so I want my Timothette. Paul handpicked Timothy. I've handpicked my best friend. She doesn't know yet. So I can't wait because I want to train her and equip her to grow quicker than me. I want her to advance past me. Because when you look at the times have sped up, right? I mean, we should be learning quicker, the younger generation, as we're building upon those generations before. And to be completely honest, we are without excuse. We should have such bold, strong faith. When we have countless testimonies of brave men and women who have gone before us, and even the Bible, where we see all these testimonies where they went through difficulties and yet God carried them through the whole way, right? We're without excuse. We should have so much faith. Well, I want to look at verses 25 and 26, but I feel like we should back up to verse 22. It says, now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Why? Why do we not return evil for evil? Why do we bless those who persecute, bless, and not curse? Why does God put us in difficult relationships with people who are weaker in their faith and you're strong? Why does he put us through the storms and the hardship? Let's see. God willing, perhaps if you maintain your witness to these people, God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Honey, ladies, there are way too many sons and daughters of the devil, right? And we are not sons of the devil. Hallelujah. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are children of God. And let me just say, as John said, in his time, the time is near. How much nearer is the time? I mean, our Lord, right now what's happening is judgment begins the household of the Lord. He's cleaning house in us, right? He's preparing his bride. Jesus is coming back for us. And are y'all ready to be before Almighty God, to stand before him? Or will we shrink away? You know, do we fully get Jesus? Do you fully get his heart? When he says, forgive one another 7 times 70, and forgive as I have forgiven you, or to love one another, right, as I have loved you. How did he love us? To the point of death on a cross. And he says, he even died for those who wouldn't believe. You know? If I could just sum up right now everything, my whole desire for you women is that you come to see how wonderful God is, how loving of a father, how dependable he is. How he wants you can trust him with all of your heart. And if you understand how good of a relationship you can have with Jesus, then we will be willing to say, Father, use me as a sacrifice. Father, I'll be persecuted. Father, I'll go through this difficult relationships and hoping to reach this person. The reason we are sacrifices is because we understand these poor people, our poor coworkers, our poor friends, they need freedom. They need to know my sweet Jesus so that they can be set free from the snares of the devil. Can you imagine one day you're persecuted and this guard beats you, rapes you, right? And you just sit there and you love him and you show him Jesus and you pray for him. And then you die and you go to heaven. And then can you imagine if he comes up to you later and you're just like, wow. He goes, you have no idea you led me to Christ, your life. Can you imagine? We probably sit there and go, I'd do it again. I bet Jesus thinks that about each of us. So, as God told Joshua to man up, he's telling us to woman up. Have I not said, be strong and courageous? Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let us be the victorious, overcoming, strong women warriors of the faith for our time and our generation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are honored before you. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are our God. Father, I pray that you'll touch every woman's heart in this room, that they will know and feel your love, feel your presence, God, that they know that you are there for them and you just want to bless them. You just want to rock their world. You just want to use them in such mighty and powerful ways. And so I just pray that every woman is encouraged, and that we just have continual blessed day in your name, Christ's name, amen.